Title: CPU-Friendly Jungle Projects Using Session View Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live workflow lesson for building jungle and drum and bass projects in Session View that stay fast, light, and remixable without turning your CPU meter into a horror movie. The big idea is simple. Jungle thrives on variation. Chopped breaks, little fills, drop edits, bass switches, effects hits. Session View is basically built for that. But if you try to do it everything live, everything running way, you end up with multiple break layers, heavy bass chains, huge reverbs, oversampling, and suddenly you're troubleshooting instead of writing. So today we're going CPU first. That means we're going to keep sound design modular, lean hard on resampling, use return tracks intelligently, build variations as clips and scenes, then print to audio and arrange cleanly. By the end, you'll have a Session View template for a jungle roller with two break sources, a ghost tops layer, a one-shot lane for reinforcement, a res and sub workflow that gets printed to audio, audio-based stabs and effects, three returns, and a scene map that goes intro to roll to drop to switch to outro. And the whole thing is designed so you can actually jam it like an instrument. Let's start with the foundation, because this is where people sabotage themselves. Set your tempo in the 160 to 172 range. I'm going to think classic jungle pace and park it at 170. Now warp modes. This matters a lot for both sound and CPU. For drums, your default should be beats mode. Preserve set to transients, and your envelope, roughly 10 to 20 as a starting zone. If your breaks are getting smeary or losing punch, don't reach for more plugins first. Check warp settings first. For melodic samples, yes, complex can sound smoother sometimes, but it's heavier. Use it only when you have to. If the sample works in a lighter mode, take the win. Preferences, keep your sample rate sensible. 44.1 or 48, don't run 96k just because it feels pro. You're building a performance-ready Session View set, and stability is the real flex here. Buffer size, when you're writing and jamming, 128 to 256 is the feel-good range. When you're mixing, go 512 or 1024. And if the set starts struggling, increase the buffer before you start ripping apart your session. That one move fixes more problems than most people want to admit. Also, make sure multicore or multi-thread is on. Now we build the Session View layout. Think like a template designer, not like you're making one track, because this is the kind of layout you'll want to reuse. Create audio tracks named and color-coded like this. Break A, main. Break B, alt or fills. Ghost tops, which is either a high-passed break layer or a ride loop. Drum shots for one-shots like kicks, snares, hats, reinforcement. Bass resample, and this is audio only. Stabs or hits, audio. Effects or risers, audio. Then one MIDI track called Bass Synth Temp. Temporary, that word matters. This track's job is to get printed, then turned off, and add three returns. Return A, drum verb. Return B, dub delay. Return C, parallel dirt. Here's the CPU logic. Your performance set becomes mostly audio playback, which is cheap. The smart expensive stuff, like bass sound design, happens briefly, gets recorded, and then you commit. You'll still get movement and aggression, but you're not carrying an entire synth laboratory on your back while you're trying to write a drop. Quick coach tip. Start naming tracks with a CPU budget mindset. Use prefixes like live underscore for anything that must run in real time. Print underscore for anything you intend to resample, and OFF underscore for anything you only turn on when revising. It sounds small, but it changes your decision-making speed. You commit faster. Next, break workflow. Clip-based chopping without heavy devices. Drop a classic MN-style break into break A. Drop a second break into break B. Something like Think or Hot Pants. Anything with a different attitude so it can act like your fill generator. Open each clip and set warp on. Mode beats. Preserve transients. Make sure your start marker is tight and your loop is clean. You want that break to cycle like a machine. Now the fun part, and this is where you save CPU and still sound produced. Instead of throwing plugins at the break to create variation, you duplicate the clip. For break A, duplicate it 6 to 10 times. Give them names that tell you what they do. Clean 2 bar, ghost snare pull, last 8th cut, double time slice, silence hit for impact, reverse tail. All of those can be done with edits that cost basically zero CPU. Use clip gain automation to push or pull specific hits. Use start offset to retrigger from different transients. Transpose plus or minus 1 to 3 semitones if you want subtle grit, but listen for artifacts, and use volume envelopes to create stutters instead of running a gate or a chopper plugin. Teacher note here, if you want that edited by someone who knows sound, it's usually not a fancy device. It's usually restraint plus a few confident clip moves. Now pick one drum processing chain per break track. One chain, not five. On break A, do something like this. EQ 8 first, high pass around 30 Hz to keep sub junk out. Small dip around 200 to 400 if it's boxy. Maybe that tiny shelf up top, 1 or 2 dB around 8 to 10k if you need air. Then drum bus, drive around 5 to 15%, taste it. Crunch 0 to 10, boom usually off for jungle breaks, unless you're being very subtle. Optional saturator after that, with soft clip on, and just 1 to 3 dB of drive. The message is, don't stack transient shapers, limiters, clippers, saturators on every track. Save heavy processing for a single drum bus later if you need it. In session view, we want performance and headroom. Now returns. This is where a lot of people accidentally burn their CPU. Return A, drum verb. Hybrid reverb is fine, but if CPU is tight, keep convolution off and use algorithmic. Jungle loves short rooms anyway. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, and filter it. High pass the verb somewhere between 250 and 500. Low pass somewhere around 7 to 10k so your reverb isn't spraying brittle hiss all over the tops. Return B. Dub delay. Use echo. Set it to sync timing. 1/8 or 1/4. Feedback 25 to 45%. Filter it. High pass 200 to 400, low pass 4 to 8k. Add subtle modulation if you want movement. Optional utility after echo to widen. But remember, don't widen the low end. The low end stays disciplined. Return C, parallel dirt. Saturator with soft clip. Drive 3 to 8 dB. EQ8 after, high pass around 150 to 250, so the dirt doesn't mud your sub-region. Then a compressor, ratio 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 ms, release 60 to 120 ms. You're aiming for 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This becomes your loudness and attitude send without needing dirt devices on every channel. Now, you send breaks and snare hits to these returns instead of inserting multiple effects everywhere. Big CPU win, and your mix starts sounding cohesive because everything shares the same space and dirt. Next, bass. This is the pro CPU move. Design once, resample to audio. Go to bass synth temp. Use wave-eatable or operator. Operator is super light. Wave-eatable is flexible. For a restarter in wave-eatable, saw on osc 1, saw on osc 2, detune 10 to 25 cents. Unison 2 to 4 voices, not 16. Filter LP 24, cut off somewhere between 200 and 800 depending on whether you want it more mid-forward or more muted. Add a saturator, 2 to 6 dB. Maybe an auto filter for movement. Chorus is optional, but be careful, because it can add CPU and it can blur your center if you overdo it. For a sub, keep it cheap and clean. Operator on a sine wave, mono, basically no FX. Put a utility after it and force width to zero. Now resample. On bass resample, set audio from to resampling or directly from your bass group if you prefer control. Arm bass resample and record several passes, 2 to 8 bars each. Make a sustained res clip. A filtered mid version, a stabbed version, and maybe a short riser or growl phrase. Now here's the moment of discipline. Freeze and disable the synth tracks, or just turn them off. Save the preset if you're nervous, but commit. From this point on, bass is audio clips. That means your bass becomes sliceable, reversible, stutterable, and basically free in CPU terms. And you still get movement, because you're going to use audio first modulation. Put an auto filter on the bass audio track, map cutoff to a macro, and automate it with clip envelopes. Not with a bunch of extra LFO devices. Clip envelopes are efficient, and they're also easy to reason about when you're building scenes. You can also automate utility width on the bass audio. Wider for mid-range phrases, mono for heavy hits. Just remember, the sub stays mono and stable. Now we build scenes. This is your session view arrangement map. Create scenes like intro, DJ mix, ghost tops, filtered break, maybe an atmosphere bed, roll 1, main break, light bass, drop, main plus alt break, full bass, stabs, switch or fill, different break clip, bass variation, drop 2, darker, less tops, more mid bass, heavier hits, outro, drip back to tops and let dub delay tails carry, advanced move, set scene tempo per scene, tiny changes, 1 or 2 BPM, can fake a push-pull energy. Subtle is the key. You're not trying to sound like a tempo map accident. You're trying to create adrenaline. Follow actions are also your friend, if you use them sparingly. For break B, set one bar fill clips with follow action, maybe 30% next, 70% other. That creates evolving fills without drawing automation lanes for everything. Now, extra variation ideas, because this is where your set starts feeling alive. Try hot swap transients. Duplicate a break clip, then move only the start marker so you steal a different kick or snare transient. Layer it quietly. You get ghost accents without adding any new devices. Try velocity feel from audio. Use clip gain envelopes to create accent patterns. Pull every second hat down by 2 to 4 dB. Suddenly it swings without using groove pulls or extra processing. Try pseudo swing. Nudge a couple of warp markers by a few milliseconds. Keep it subtle so your transients stay punchy. Jungle needs that snap. Now, CPU discipline. This is the part that separates cool idea from finishable project. Golden rule. If it sounds right, print it. If a track is heavy, freeze it. If it's done forever, flatten it. If you want multiple edits, resample into a new audio track and mute the original. Places you almost always commit in jungle. Bass sound design, complicated break effects chains, atmospheres with long reverbs, and any synth with unison plus modulation plus oversampling. Also, watch meters properly, not just CPU percent. Watch the disk meter too. If you have a lot of long audio files, you can become disk bound even when CPU looks okay. If disk spikes, consolidate. Draw your consolidated loops beat a forest of long files. And you can use RAM mode on a few critical break clips, like the ones you absolutely rely on in the drop. Don't turn RAM on for everything, or you'll just create a different problem. Another performance killer. Latency islands, linear phase EQ, look-ahead limiters, mastering chains. Even if your CPU survives, session view starts feeling sluggish and unplayable. Coach rule, keep your master chain minimal while jamming. Save mastering for a separate mixed-down version of the project. Your performance set should feel like an instrument, not like a master WAV. Here's a workflow upgrade that keeps you fast. One macro rack per key track. Put a lightweight audio effect rack on break A, break B, bass resample, maybe stabs. Give yourself 4 to 6 macros only. Tone. Map to an auto filter cutoff. Bite. Map to saturator drive. Air. Map to a high shelf EQ. Send verb. Send delay. Maybe one more macro for something like a quick low cut. This audio version is shortened for playback.